Love and Hate, PSA, and She Did It Again. All this and more on today's Brilliant Observations. Do, 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 do.
Let's hit it! All right, all right, all right, all right. Why are you putting your hand on your face? Stop.
What were we just talking about before? Oh, I looked at the filth of my desk and I said, I think it's time to throw things out. I was a member of a, let's send her small sizes of lots of products, see if she likes them to buy bigger products. And now I...
You can't do that.
Where were you?
You can't do that. Those little sizes are fake anyway. And I don't mean, we have a friend, Jessica, who, God bless her, when you're getting ready to load up sentences like the next one I'm going to say, she actually believes that these product companies put their best possible samples in the sample sizes and then use a different formula for the full size so that the sample will get you hooked.
Oh.
I have never heard of anything more ridiculous in my life. That we're going to give away the most expensive product we have in tiny doses and then screw you so that when you actually pay us money, don't want you to keep paying us money. We only want to give you
quality
for free.
But
yeah,
it didn't
and
work.
We want to take the time to do multiple formulations because that's cost efficient. It's just like, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? I think it's a psychological. I don't think it's a prodigal.
Do you have these little things? Because I remember not just feeling like a giant, you get little bottles, but you used to get them for your guest room and have that be, but like Highline, not the I'm trying to think of a shitty hotel and it's Motel 6 does not give out decent products.
I did. Well, there's giving out and then there's receiving. So the reality is
we'll
when
get
you
to that later.
When you go to the hotels, and there was a time in my life, I mean, I still go to quite a lot, but when I was there a lot, and on the company dime,
yeah,
you're in a really nice hotel. So I would, instead of using the toiletries that they gave to me, I would keep the intact suite of toiletries so that when a guest stays, you have that same suite in my house. I would just like set them out. So you would, you know,
guys, come on.
Stuff.
That's so cute, nice guys. Right? Yeah. That's so cute that she did that, right? Answer me.
So it's fun. And then I got to the point where I had multiple gigantic art supply sized totes filled with these products and many of them duplicates from the same chain. I mean, good stuff, Kiehl's, whatever, you know, I don't even remember what the brands are. All the swank ass brands, London brands, whatever, blah, blah. And it's just like, this is dumb. I feel like this is dumb. So I stopped doing it. It was hard to stop. It was really hard, but then I completely stopped. And now I don't even take the ones that they leave in the room. Like time was, I would roll those hospitality cards. I think they're not called hospitality.
I don't
cards.
Think they are. I think they're cleaning
I think
carts.
They're called supply carts.
Cleaning carts. Yes, they're not for you or the Gen Pop. They're for that delightful human who's cleaning your room that you refuse to tip. By the way,
hospitality cards. Woo. You know.
Wait, is this like the Fictions bar at Fuddruckers that my husband said is a salad bar? Because it has lettuce
ew.
And tomato,
yes,
and he can make
not,
Thousand
well,
Island dressing
okay,
from it.
Sure. The salad bar.
Honey, I think
the
that's
bar.
A fixin's yeah. bar.
Even the word fixin's, I'll never get over how ridiculous and delightful that word is.
I like it.
Fixin's and toppings. Those are some of my favorite words.
Why is it
fixin's?
Fixin's
toppings
and not toppins.
Well, they're both bad. And my arguably my favorite is cookie, because it's just so stupid.
What are you saying?
We couldn't come up. Cookie. Here's something. Let's put it in the oven. We cooked it. What should we call it? A cookie? It's an idiotic word. Give me something better.
It is one of
my... Are we going to call it a bakey? It's stupid.
No, a bakey is that person who sat next to you in college who didn't have any advice for you because they were so stoned they had nothing. Okay. You are saying one of my favorite words in the whole world is so stupid.
It is stupid. It's a stupid word. It's almost a movie is not as bad, but it's close. Are we that lazy?
Yes. Stop.
Everything's
yes.
moving. It's a movie. It's stupid.
Well, remember they called them talkies because you couldn't hear before and then you could hear. And
Shine up, America. We got better than this. I just don't know. Come on.
Do we?
Stop it.
We have to.
I saw a quote today, and it was from somebody else, but an artist was writing it down. Like, the artist didn't come up with the quote. America, why are your libraries filled with tears? I was like, oh, that's truly sad. Yeah. So, America, when will you give India your eggs? It was some long speech. I don't know that I understand every part of it. I'm just saying, cookie can be improved.
Can you not send me that TikTok? Because I don't know what to make of anything you just said.
He was painting. He was a graffiti muralist. Support. And graffiti is not the right word. He's more of a typography artist because it doesn't look like graffiti. It is incredibly legible and it's like fun with type, right? And he'll do giant muralscapes and wallscapes, and they're these things where you have to stand there and read the whole thing, and it's the side of a city, of a skyscraper wall. Like, so you it takes a minute for you to actually absorb what he's saying. Yeah, it's very cool.
I love that.
And so the Insta was just him, like, painting it. And another one that he said just this morning is, if no one hates it, then no one truly loves it.
Yeah.
And that's very motivating to me.
Yeah.
That's very motivating.
They say that love and hate aren't really both different sides of a coin. It's love and indifference. So really, hate is the other side of, like, it is love. It comes together. You know, nobody can anger you like the people you love, and nobody can get to you that way. But indifference being the opposite, if people had indifference to something I created, art in any way, I would throw myself into that art, throw myself off the building of the art, whatever it was. Indifference is one I can't handle.
It's a lot of throwing. Yeah. Okay.
But the love and hate that I'd like to discuss is this time of year. And I'm wondering, because I know you spent this time of year up here for a very long time, and you're trying to match it and beat it by being in the South. Do you remember turning on the heat, off the heat, on the AC, off the AC? This time of year, I get sick every time because it goes from 43 to today, 76, 78 today.
76 trombones and they're coated with pollen.
Yeah,
yeah,
awful. And then tomorrow it's going to be like 46. What are you doing, Mother Nature? And why do you have to mess with the temperature inside my house too? It's not the same 70 with heat and 70 with AC. Why?
No, that part's not fair. I don't care for that at all. I really don't. When you're at the beach and you want it to be 80 degrees, and then when you're in the car and you don't want it to be 80 degrees, like, it's the same degrees. Why is it so
painful?
Yeah, it's painful
on one side, and it's never the side that you were looking for.
Here's my frustration, and it's so, I guess I can call it a joyful, I'm so grateful for this, because it justifies all the shit that I didn't do. Every year I say, I'm going to plant ranunculuses, because that's what everyone says.
I've never said that. Things Melissa would never say for 1,000, Alec.
They hate the cold or the hot, one or the other. I don't remember. All the things you want to fucking plant, the corms, you have to start them at a certain time.
Is this English?
It's a ranunculus corm. That's what it's called. And it looks like a spider's face.
Dear listeners,
really,
somebody call 911. Amy is having a stroke. Words are coming out of her mouth.
Bury them and all their baga, baga, baga. They are among the most beautiful flower, but they're a little bit bitchy. So you have to, and dahlias are the goddamn fucking same.
That's a name I know.
So you have to get them in the ground at the right time.
Corm.
So it can be cold enough, but not too hot. And then sometimes they rot and sometimes they don't. And in the South, they're like, you missed it. You were supposed to plant this shit in November of 2018 and just wait. Like, it's just, you got to do all this. So it's like, okay. But then magically, after you've given up all hope of ranunculus planting, the very next day, it's 12 degrees outside for 3 days straight. And I'm like, so I could have planted these dicks if you weren't so preposterous to me? The reality is, I didn't ever have any real action step to get them planted. It was just the idea that I was going to do it. And then nature reinforcing, psych, I set up everything for you to do it. You got the dirt, you got the sun, you got the cold, you got the water, you got the desire. All you need is the fucking spider egg corm and 30 seconds to dig a hole and plop it in. Get you some carrots. I don't plant shit. And then the summer comes and I say, why don't I have anything beautiful in the garden? It's because I don't plant it. Makes me mad.
You reap what you sow. Wait, what?
I know. I don't like that part. I just like the reaping
Reaping. Last week we talked about the kind of parents we aren't. Hey, mom, how old was I when I took my first breath, my first step? I was like, I've had several kids after you and my own life. So I don't fucking know. I should write more things down. When you talk about flowers and when our friend Annie talks about corm?
Corms.
I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. So I guess if I turned this around, my mother would say, I was never that kind of mom. Where did you get this bank of information?
What? What are you talking about? A corm? Because you say ranunculus. Well, first of all, you observe the flower. You observe it in your life, in a cut vase, in a painting, in a market somewhere, in a bouquet that is presented to you. You observe the flower and you think, flower, good. Amy like flower. Learning flowers. Flower. Flower power, okay. Talk, learning. Google. So we get on Google and he says, that is called a ranunculus. Then you spend a lot of time like Lysianthus trying to figure out how to fucking pronounce it. And then you walk around and slip it in later when people aren't looking. So now they're like, ooh, somebody knows some flowers. What's up? Okay, then several years go by.
That's where I am right now, yeah.
Several years go by and your Instagram feed is filled with start a side hustle by being a cut flower gardener. All you need are 37 acres, no job, millions of dollars, and like long flowy hair and like iced coffee. All the things
in
a dog.
And overalls.
So I have some of those. Okay. I have some of those. So I think I'm going to fucking do this and I'm going to do it better than all of these bitches. And I'm going to start by not planting the corms. So they refer to things by name.
Okay.
And I say, oh, okay. Gotcha. I gotcha.
Yeah. I don't know any of that information. Fastest way to make me feel as dumb as possible. Start like talking about the xenum phyllus and I don't know, phylum and
psyllium husk. Now listen, here's all I got to say to you.
Yeah.
I don't agree with your own body telling you I feel dumb. I challenge this feeling. I think you don't feel dumb. I think you don't. I think you need to investigate that. I think you're
I'm aware
understanding the signals
that I have zero knowledge and I don't need it, right? Like it's not.
But you don't want it or care.
But I don't.
If somebody came to you and started like rattling off the periodic table of the events, it's not called that.
Elements, but okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
If they wanted to start saying them to you, you'd be like, toothpaste, pickleball, cucumber, dog foot.
Well, that I understand more because I feel like I at least studied that in school and I could give you the inert gases. I could give you, like, there are things on a periodic table that I could identify. When I look at flowers, I'm like, that's a rose, that's a tulip, that's a hydrangea. That's not a rose, that's not a tulip, and that's not a hydrangea to other flowers. I know what I know. I am Popeye. I am what I am. I'm strong to the finish because I really do like spinach. But I just, when I hear you use those words, my ears go up and I think something was missing in my childhood or my curiosity. You're telling me it's my curiosity. Like you heard it and then did a deep dive. And I must have heard it and gone, that's something I don't know anything about. Moving on.
Are you a fan of flowers?
I talked
there's
about
your answer.
This with
the,
Jessica.
That, there's your answer.
Yeah.
I'm talking over your answer because you gave the answer with the hesitation.
And the deep
if
inhale.
If you say to me, are you a fan of flower? Of course. Yes, absolutely. Can't tell you fast enough how big a fan. I'm a huge flower fan. I love
Come up next
flowers.
Year for the flower show. I would love to go there with
to,
you.
I don't necessarily. The flower shows would be are kind of, they're adjacent to me. I go. They're fun, but they're a different thing. Somebody talked about flowers a million years ago. I wish I could remember the quote because it really resonated with me.
I see.
And now I'm going to butcher this quote.
I see it did.
Some things in life, you should have some things in life that are just beautiful. They have no purpose. They have no, there's no reason. It's not, all they are is beauty. That's the only thing they do is exist with a smile for happiness and beauty. And for you, that's like chocolate chip banana bread. So we all have our flowers.
Or cookie. You said it
sure.
at the get-go. Yeah.
Sure. So a flower, don't come at me. Flowers have a purpose and there are the bees and the thing where all the blah, 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 blah. The only thing that they're doing in your house after you cut them is be pretty. You look at it and you instantly acknowledge pretty. And that's, I like it. Flower, yes. I have to be very simple in my world.
I can acknowledge that they're pretty. I also see them as a job. Somebody walks into your house with flowers. I'm like preparing dinner or something is set out and they've given me a job. I now need to go find a vase. I have 10 things I'm doing because you're here and I don't invite people into my inner sanctum. I have to, I don't know, cut that little pouch and pour shit in or put an aspirin at the bottom. I have to cut their stems at the base underwater.
On the bias. Listen,
on a diagonal. I have a whole mission that I have to fucking do, and I have to arrange them in that vase. And then they have the nerve to fucking die and reek in my house.
You're not changing a car tire. Just settle down. I observed myself
yesterday. I feel like
yesterday.
It is changing a
I
car
received
tire.
Flowers yesterday.
Aww.
I received a bag of raw sausage. I'm sorry.
Who hurt you? That's, who hates
no,
you?
I'm just sort of recounting what happened. And I was very grateful to receive it. I received a bag of 6 pounds of raw sausage diced, which I love. And look, stop. I should tell you. So the guy coming over is it? Well, I had brunch with colleagues who I have not seen in quite literally 20 years. We all gathered. It was super fun. It was opportunistically had because one who had moved away was back in town just for a brief blip. So we pulled it together. It was great. It was lovely, lovely, lovely. The guy with whom I had worked for several years and still hang around with, see from time to time, after we no longer worked together, he married a woman who is heiress to a pork fortune. So they are gigantic pork producers, a family bred pork thing. So
I want praise for leaving heiress to a pork fortune alone as it rolled out of your mouth.
So,
I want credit.
So I, as one does,
it's killing me,
factored into the brunch that he was coming. And without anyone telling me or asking me or thinking it was nice, I served sausage gravy with their sausage because I thought, well, he's coming. Of course, we're going to serve this just as a nod, right? The wife's not even there. She's not part of this group. She's just his wife. So he showed up with flowers and a bag of the chopped country sausage for me. And I was like, well, and it was the extra sage, which is my favorite. So he brought it.
It's like another language to me. You might as well be talking about flowers. Go ahead.
You're going to eat it and then you're not going to have these problems anymore. So It comes in a wax paper. It's old school. It comes in a wax paper brick that is just sealed like butter is sealed inside the carton. You know how you take out a stick of butter that's
sure
wrapped?
Do. Yep.
They sell it just wrapped. It's not taped. It's just closed. So sometimes on the supermarket shelf, it's open and there's little bits of meat coming out. Like it's that close to the world.
Do you
wax
run
paper,
your fingers
it.
Through it like you do beans when it's on the shelf?
I don't know why you are so mean to me, but you've eaten Scrapple. You know how Scrapple
I've
comes in a little square.
I've never had Scrapple, but I've seen
Moving
it.
Moving on. Yes. He came with flowers to my house and I observed because I thought, boy, now Melissa's got me thinking about how one processes the gift of flowers. So they were already pre-bunched, I will say. Someone else had arranged them into an arrangement. So it took probably 71 seconds for me to get, I took scissors and went straight up the outside of the cellophane, took those same scissors, snipped the twine that was holding them together, cut flat, horizontal, chunk, the stems. Didn't bother cleaning any leaves off the stems. I'm not doing a fancy job. I'm doing a perfunctory job. In the same motion, took the scissors and snipped open the packet. Now I'm holding an open packet. Walked over to my glassware cabinet, opened up, selected a vase, filled it, dumped in the packet while it was still filling, picked up the bunch with my one hand, zhuzhed them a little bit, shook them a little bit, plopped them in the vase. We're done. That's it. That's it. And then I went back today and I cleaned off some of the lower branches and maybe freshened them up a bit. But it was perfect and it took no time at all. And they were beautiful on the buffet. So it all worked out. You can do this.
I think it's my ADHD that makes that a job. And when I'm already doing the job of preparing a meal for people, then I'm afraid I'm going to kill them with undercooked meat or anything else. My brain cannot process that at all. And I don't want to make this whole show about my neurospiciness. And I don't know that I've really even addressed it so much on this show, but I will tell you right now, we are doing this show on April 15th, which is tax day.
Oh,
and
God.
Because of family issues in someone else's family, our accountant did not get us K-1s that didn't come in on time. We did not get our paperwork physically. We usually get it in the mail and what we only got it electronically. And my husband really does this. This is his thing. He gets it and he makes like a big deal about sitting at the kitchen counter and he lines up the checks and he lines up the tax day is a big deal, but it's also 2 weeks to 4 weeks ago. It is today. My husband is working and I woke up to an email and a text that said, I know you. I want you to breathe and know that this has to go out today or we'll die. Immediately, that's what I heard. I don't know what he said, but that's what I heard. And I need to take pictures of checks and I need to take pictures of receipts and I need the letters and I need to mail and it needs to be at the post office. So remember, canceled plans are my favorite plans. If only he would call and say, just kidding. After recording this, like I apologize to you. There's nothing else in my head, but 5 checks I need to write that are wrong and the amounts that they're in.
I am so jealous
of
you
for
this.
Why?
My taxes are a fucking crime scene and never done on time. Rarely are they even submitted within the second calendar year after they're due.
Do you have an extension that you filed for?
I'm still on extensions from prior years. Of course. We don't even worry about it. We'll be at the point of like, fuck, did we miss the extension date? And I don't mean we don't worry about it. We live in a constant state of chase from the IRS, I think is how that works. I run my own business.
Yeah.
At one point in the previous 4 years, I had 3 LLCs going. And my husband runs his own business, totally separate. We have to align both of those, get them together, do our thing. We have, you know, tuition payments and all this other stuff that's affected by everything. It's bananas. And then in 2020, the advent of government programs in support of small business that have to be tabulated and approved and look left and, you know, get the elephant tusk and do all the fucking things you have to do.
Don't do that. That's not a joke.
They never. And some of them, they want you to submit stuff in such a way and then you wait for them to get back to you. So you can't even. We're still in process for last year's taxes because they haven't gotten back to us with the information we need to complete it. So I'm on your dime, fool. So, you know, it is what it is. It's a mess. It's not ever anything that I would take comfort sitting at a counter, photographing checks or doing. And I am so jealous that anyone in your life is so fatutzed about writing this process that it happens methodically, meticulously, on time, in a reasonable time frame so that it's done. I have no words. Super jealous.
So I'm telling you, in my brain, it's complete like there's a sign language sign for it. It's just upheaval and turmoil. And you're saying, Melissa, this is tax forever for my head and brain and life. And we are on a perpetual disruption or spiral. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
You'll get through this today, Melissa. You'll be mad at your husband for screwing you. He'll be mad at the accountant for screwing him. And he'll be mad at the K-1 guy for screwing. Like, it'll go back, but it's finite and over. And yours is perpetual. Is that what you're saying?
Well, sure. That's yes. But the reality is, I think that you are tied to the outcome in a way that I am not. Like, the process itself is what makes me crazy and sketchy and run for the hills and, you know, light my hair on fire. The actual act of having to do the taxes and putting things in columns, bleh, like I can't even think about it, is so gross. I buy extra drawers for all the paper. I am good at keeping paper. I will keep the paper for the person whoever wants to go through it. So I have it. I have all the receipts.
The receipts.
To what end? I have them all, right? They're where they're supposed to be, but I don't touch them. I don't sort them. I don't do anything with them. I put my hand up and I say, you do it. And so I have no idea how assiduously I'm being cheated. Like, it's just all the things. So you, on the other hand, I think, perceive that if you don't turn your stuff in on time, your brain will explode.
No, it needs to be posted today or we get fined. And
yeah, but you don't.
I don't
really
want to spend money to pay taxes. Like, that to me is a crazy person's gig. Are you that crazy person?
No. Back to life, back to anal.
This episode brought to you by Finance Fuckers. They will
Nerd
be
Wallet.
Happy to help you Yeah. I'm just telling you that being a neuro-spicy individual the way I am, I woke up this morning to a double text and a couple of emails and lots of clippy clip stuff and attachments. And I molted. All of my hair fell out and I lost 6 pounds. And then I realized, no, girl, you got this. So line it up and read. Like, I put on the big glasses and I'm like, read all of the directions and pretend like. So I'm afraid, though, if I show my husband that I am more than capable of doing hard things or doing things, he will expect them of me in the future.
No, you can't do that. You can't stumble into competence.
I'm trying to avoid that.
No, keep away from it. Here's the other reality. Yeah. If the participants in your tax scheme,
yes,
are responsible for you being late,
yes,
then they are also responsible for paying the fine.
That's
so
what
you don't
he
even
said
have to fucking
yesterday.
Deal with it.
He said, look, if we're being honest, today's the 14th and you haven't gotten our shit due tomorrow. So that's on you. I got everything to you months ago.
And, no, they know it. Okay. And they know it and they don't care. They absolutely know it. If anything, it's surprising to me that your returns have not been prioritized because they're probably the easiest fucking returns on the planet because they arrive with, you know, tabbed subsections and things already signed and 14 copies so you can give one to your friends and like all the fucking, like my stuff shows up a dusty box with grease stained, illegible, like luggage tags from the airport. Like it's nothing, you know, candy wrappers. Oh, and also these two, you know, I-9s that are filled with, you know, and everything else. And it's just horrifying. It's a horrifying
state. I'm looking at your schedule one and I'm wondering why you think somebody else wants to pay for your blah, blah, blah. I'm looking at this second schedule that you created that doesn't exist in real life and the IRS will not acknowledge and wondering what the fuck you were eating when you filled this out. Because
I would love to say I no longer have. I can tell you I definitely in the past had a hide and seek, right? I'm not interested, so I'll run away and hide. I will evade. I would have the taxes get done, but head in the sand. I don't want to know anything about it. I don't want to hear about it. You do it. If you're defrauding me, I'm not going to look. I'm telling you, it was not a good, that was the past. It's not good. It's not much better now, but I'm not going to fucking do it myself. Why would I do that? I have to just accept that I know how to hire trustworthy people. I know how to do a sniff test on the end result. And in the end, if somebody's stealing from me, I've been stolen from before. I don't like it. I will endeavor to do better. And that's also, I think, the cost of doing business with this hands-off approach. I can only sleep at night by managing so many things. Your sleep at night dictates that you sit at the kitchen counter and pluck your teeth out by the root one at a time.
Correct.
Like, I'm not going to do that.
Correct.
I'm not going to do that for this. Yeah. I'd rather overpay $600. Oops. Yeah. And then I'll just go make $600 and then tell you that I got screwed for $600.
Yeah, so, and then that's the point of this podcast, that we screw ourselves and we come here and complain about other people. This week, I feel like you are doubling down on my I didn't steal, when in reality, I know that you did this week.
I didn't steal a single thing. I don't even
Ladies
know what you're
and gentlemen,
talking about.
Welcome
didn't.
To our my favorite part of this podcast. What did Amy steal?
Okay.
Do you need guidance? Because I know what it is.
No. No, no. Here's where we're going to begin. Yeah. Okay. Whether you are new to the program or long old, welcome all. And I will update you that I am not a thief.
Well,
I am not a crook.
Well,
I am not a criminal.
Can you put up
I
two piece
fingers for that? I do
not
what is not mine. On occasion, I self-discount. That's very different. I am not a fraudster. I do not commit fraud.
Five finger
discount? I do not lie. And when I catch myself lying, I'm the first one to tell you that's a lie. How many times have you heard me say
many times.
That's a lie? Because a lot of times I'll say something, and I'll be like, that's not right. So I fix it.
You don't even need to say that. The person with whom you are speaking
they're
immediately.
They're super dumb.
They're ridiculous.
They're super dumb. Okay. But I also don't. Okay. So everyone seems to think that they are not like me. And I am here to tell you, I only do this because it is so relatable to everyone who is exactly like me. Okay. Everybody loved to sit around on their high, I'm better than you throne and look down and say, oh, 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 oh. And the truth is this. Every single one of y'all has self-discounted at a self-checkout at some store nationwide. Every one of you has stolen a bag of ice from a convenience station
store.
Are we listing
the last six
That's
months
it.
For you?
That's the sum total of my theft. I don't go into the bank and like take money from behind the bank. I don't do that. Okay? And I never once thought
Cut
of doing
to
that.
To it. What we already gave financial, stupid financial advice.
What did you steal? I don't even know why you're bringing this up. And now I'm starting to feel like I'm getting a bad reputation because somehow people misperceive me as an actual thief.
You don't give a damn about your
thief.
Bad reputation. Let's be honest.
I really don't. That's also accurate. But I do like the truth to be known.
Fibs.
I do like the truth to be known. Right? Fibs. I don't like to be associated with lies and
fibs.
I don't like that. Yeah. So here's what's up. I went to the market.
Yeah, here we go.
And first of all, I'm going to make you real sad. I was over in the produce area, and then I hear my name called real loud. Amy! Like that. I'm like, I'm not stealing.
Not yet.
I'm not stealing. That's what I thought. I was in produce, and I thought I didn't take nothing. So I look up.
Yet.
And meanwhile, it's a family that we don't see anymore because they only had a child that matched up with my oldest child from high school.
And they got her. Right.
Okay. Hey, how are you? And the oldest child was with them, right? Oh, talk. And the husband says he is from, I want to say he's from Jamaica. So he's got like a, but he's also Jamaica properly and then through New York. So he has a really strange, aggressive Caribbean accent. Like it's very fast and difficult to keep up. He kind of talks like this all the time. Like it's not a little, it's very weird. So anyway, so he's talking, he goes, you heard him about the dog. And I was like, what? And then he immediately took out his phone, and now he's showing me his phone. He's very tall also. So he said, I'll speak it in English. You heard about my dog, right? He has 5 small dogs. He walks them every day, up and down, always has.
Oh, no.
And the worst occurred.
Oh, no.
The worst occurred. One, while he was walking them, separated from the leash, in full view of them, and the worst occurred. So, and he had posted about this, and that gave me license to say, I'm never on social media. I didn't know. And he's like, you got to get on social media. I'm like, okay, I'll do it. And I'm very sorry, and I'm very sad. And then I had to stand there for a real long time, talk about this real sad news, and I got nowhere to go. I was caught off guard. I was caught unawares, right?
Yes.
So I'm standing there holding 3 packets of raspberries while I'm talking to him the whole time. And then he says, you like raspberries? I don't necessarily like raspberries. Blah, 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 blah. He's got diabetes and MS and all the rest of it. And I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, great. Let's get them. They're on sale. And then I said, well, they're not actually on sale. Because the ones that are on sale, they were 3 for pints for $5. Friends, let's all together pray for you because that's exciting news.
It is. They're non-organic. They've been treated with God knows what. And
3 for $5 a pint, so that's
unbelievable.
A lot.
Unbelievable.
Because normally one of them is $4.99. You get 3. It's a 3-for-1. And you didn't even have to lie. So they didn't have any left. I had already gone back and asked them if they had any more. And he said, no. So I found the organic ones. And I was holding the organic ones. And I said, well, the normal are on sale, but these organic ones are not. However, I'm going to have them honor this price for me. And he went, oh, how do you do that? So we'll leave him standing over in the raspberries and see what happened to him. I had to get raspberries that day. I had people coming for brunch. They're bringing me flowers. So
and pork. Cubed.
I went to the regular checkout. I let her ring it up. They were coming up $5.99 each times 3. And I went, oh, are those not on sale? Because I figured let's just make it easy. Are those not on sale? And she goes, no, they're on sale. And she went to adjust it. I was like, fine, good. Because I'm going to win this fight no matter what, right? Let's just go quick. And then the bagger wants to fucking get chirpy. So she starts up, oh no, we had this before. These are the organics, the traditional. And I'm like, is that so, Cheryl? Is that what we're going to do? This is where you want to be?
You just want to kick me
Let's
in the
go.
Teeth right here?
Throw down!
I haven't
on.
Paid taxes so in 6 years.
So I look up. So I have learned this tactic, okay? It has served me well, friends. And I invite you to use it freely. I shut up. And I waited. It's a good tactic.
It really is. Let them figure
she said,
it out. Talk.
She said, no, only the traditional ones are on sale. Those are the organic. And she looked at the cashier and she said, so here's what you should do. Do that as a rain check enter the other price and we'll honor it. And I was like, thank you. Thank you. I didn't have to do shit. I didn't steal shit. I got three things of raspberries for $5.
Organic raspberries.
That's not stealing. That's just thoughtful shoppery.
That's not stealing. I thought you were going to come to the pod with, they were buy one, get one free. So I just took the free ones. I didn't.
How does that work?
It's stealing. What do you mean? How does that work? It's stealing strawberries.
I'm trying to figure out what you're doing.
These are buy one, get one. So you get two, buy one, get one free. Well, I'm not going to do the buy one. I'm just going to take the get one free. That's like an Amy special.
I couldn't even conceive of what you're saying.
I think you can conceive
of
it.
This is that reputational erosion that I was talking about before for me talking about relatable content. I'm just trying to be here to say it's okay, friends. It's okay. I'm doing it too. We're all human. We're all doing it. And meanwhile, that doesn't include five-figure discounting raspberries. I don't fucking steal. I don't steal. Discount is different. I don't steal.
Yours organic was buy one, get two free.
Today.
Go back. And you should have said, hold on, I'm going to get more. While you're price adjusting, let's get more.
I'm very pleased at myself. I don't steal stuff. I don't steal it. And I don't know why. I'm just like everyone else. Stars, they're just like us.
Podcasters, they are everyone. Amy, if somebody said to you, can you keep a secret? Yeah. What would you answer besides that evil chuckle you just gave me?
Yes, 1,000% I can. I'm an excellent secret keeper.
I'm not.
You have to qualify.
Yeah, I'm not.
What are you really asking me to keep? If I don't believe that it deserves keeping, it's out. It's out.
Okay, so no is the answer, because that's
no,
my...
No. That's false. I don't make that judgment in a vacuum. I will tell you, people know that I'm an excellent secret keeper. There's shit that people are still surprised that I don't tell my husband, and it's meaningless. And he learns out later, and it's like, you told me to keep it a secret. And then they'll say this stupid sentence, which we've covered before, not from your husband. I'm like, then it ain't a secret, is it? The only, my father has said, and I live by this, the only secret that is never told is the one you don't share. Keep it all for yourself. That's the only secret that you can protect is the one you never tell. That's it.
It's your secret, not somebody else's.
No, that's any secret. If information comes to you and it is meant to be kept secret, don't tell. Because I also learned in a couple of toxic workplaces that I'm reminded after spending time with these coworkers that I hadn't seen since our toxic workplace sharing. I also was quite adept at managing the toxic workplace using secrets. Because when you tell one piece of information to one source and then you track where that information goes, you now have exposed the network. And all you got to do is make up some shit that's not true and wait for it to filter around. And you're like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do people ever do work at work? Or was it really just a sociological study of gossip and secrets and...
No work. And I was stunned. I will say this. Everybody, except for the sausage guy who was a creative like myself, everybody else was suits, as we call them. So we've all been working a long time. So now they're all in charge of this and running that and CEO and VP. They're all very high up in all their different organizations. The one I'm not sure how I feel about this, to be honest. She said, since COVID, everything has changed. She works at a massive, massive corporate conglomerate. She does not approve or accept or want to be notified about PTO.
Really?
She's like, yeah. She's like, she goes, first of all, when I learned that I'm supposed to be doing this, I said, okay, because for the past 2 years, I haven't. She's like, why do I have to approve another adult's request to take time off? I don't care. We all work from everywhere. If you're hitting your objectives, I don't really want to know where you are or what you're doing. And you can't carry your PTO over anyway. So fucking, like, don't ask me. Tell me what you're doing. And I was like, oh. And it felt really empowering in the moment. And then I also thought, how can you run your business if you don't know where your people are or what they're doing? I mean, I think it was the authorization that she objected to, not the utility, not the use of it, right? But still, I was like, okay, all right, that sounds whatever, big deal. And she's in healthcare. So I was kind of like, don't your people have to be around for helping us?
Well, do they? Anyway. I mean, I don't know that.
I guess not.
If everything is covered, if your work is done, I'm not paying you for time off. I'm just.
Yeah, I don't.
You
I don't
do your job and you'll get paid your salary. If you could do it all on Monday and have Tuesday to Friday
we all
to
work
go surfing.
From anywhere. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Her point is like, I got too much shit to deal with, which I'm fucking worried about where you're going.
I love that. She's not trying to micromanage everything.
No.
To your point before, hire good people. I mean, it was your accountant that we were talking about, but hire good people, not somebody who's going to turn around and tell you, I got you your information on April 15th for an April 15th filing, and I'm not paying your extension. That's not acceptable. I agree. I agree with me. It's not acceptable.
I agree with me.
I do. I don't think I can keep a secret.
I think you can.
I mean, there are absolutely secrets I've kept, but I think like if somebody said to me, I am doing something so exciting and you can't tell anyone.
You're the wrong person to tell. That you can't
don't
handle.
Tell me.
I know that. That's why we don't tell you stuff.
Okay, that's fair.
You are the worst about secrets because you also don't want secrets to exist in the world around you. So if something is happening that you or others don't know about, you make it your mission to go peel back that onion. And share with all.
I mean, don't
so
get me wrong.
So they have onion juice upon them.
If it was something that would hurt someone or yeah, I would absolutely, I would, as an ADHDer, I'd stick it in a box. And like Book of Mormon taught me, I'd shove it down real deep and I would turn it off like a light switch and it wouldn't exist anymore because like a three-year-old, I have object permanence issues. And if I don't see it, it doesn't exist. Ask my closet. If I don't see it, it doesn't exist. I
here's what I will say about your
same
about
item.
your abject failure to manage secrets in life.
Yeah.
I think it is a treasure. Okay? I think it is a mark of transparency, of inclusion, of egalitarianism, right? You want everyone and everything to have the same playing field. You don't want some participants to know what others do not, and you act as vigilante, judge, jury,
yeah,
and
like
executioner on behalf of the
fairness.
Truth.
Yeah.
So I mean, I feel like you're
very sensitive to that.
You are a righteous, you know, Sean Penn-esque figure in our lives.
That's funny.
In the pursuit of everyone will know that you put chia seeds in my coffee.
Ooh, that would be awful. Is that a thing you're doing?
No, but it's fine. It's great.
I found a new protein powder that
See.
I love. And I could sit on it and I could gatekeep, but I was doing like the 42 grams of protein nonsense to just pound protein. Look, I don't struggle with anything other than emotions and processes and accomplishing tasks. Like when it comes to... I just have the Jewish belly of dairy and too many carbs. I can figure it out. Proteins, we talked about power bars. Everybody has a favorite. Nobody can agree. These are the best. Oh, yeah, I hated those. They gave me the trots. I like these at all the things. This one, my fine feathered friend, did not get me sick.
It's usually a good start.
Is delicious. The powder is so fine that there's never a clump when you put it in your little shaker and shake it up.
I have a guess as to what kind it might be, so I'm super curious. I'm going to keep listening. And I haven't tried it. I'm optimistic. Go ahead.
Its flavor is, I mean, the name it's called is interesting, but the flavor is just fucking delicious. What is your guess?
My guess is that it's devotion.
It's not.
That you finally tried devotion?
No.
Okay, what'd you try?
Flav City's butter coffee.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
It is creamy and it is rich. It's not the 42 grams of the ones we normally do. It's like 20 something, but it is fucking delicious. And I could regularly drink that. And after I work out today, sorry, after I get the taxes finished, brought to the post office, the guy at the post office talks to me like your Caribbean New York friend. And I just want to get out of that conversation. And I'm like, let my people go.
Hi, Mark.
Please let us go. There's a line behind me. It's tax day. Please don't keep me hostage. then I will work out and have that. I look forward to it. Do you look forward to a fitness anything in your life?
I used to. Time was. I was reminded how much I loved Pilates. And of course, I used to
you
love rowing, two things that I mentioned here. And I even looked into it again to say,
remember me?
When I'm having these thoughts of how much I loved it, why am I not back doing it? Why do I not? I need to prioritize it, and something else will have to go because it's an expense. Okay. For the unlimited classes for a month, it's $200. I mean, $200 is not nothing over the course of a year.
But for a month. Okay.
And if it's unlimited, the reason I quit it is because even though you pay for unlimited access,
shit fills up.
They are only available to you perhaps twice a week. So then you're like, this doesn't feel like a good deal anyway.
Right.
I should just buy the machine, but then I won't use it. La la la. I got this urge, went to their website, was ready to sign up, and I thought, just take a look at the calendar. And just as I thought, it's 3 weeks before I could even take a single class because the rest were all waiting list. You have to get in
right.
early. You have to manage your time, and you can't ever miss a class. You know, or it's just not worth it. So, and my life is not, I mean, I have a hard time keeping doctor's appointments because you make them so far in advance. My life is very, it's happening right this second. And whatever that is, honestly, is more urgent than whatever the thing was that's on the calendar. So I don't know how doctors do it. I don't know how teachers do it. I don't know how anybody does it where you have something that's inflexible on your calendar because my days are always just not able to accommodate. Like I have to have flexibility in every fucking thing. I need like a drop-in general practitioner for healthcare. That would be ideal.
I have one.
Anyway.
It's not for a physical, yeah. but like for wellness. Like a child, you could go in the morning on sick call and they will
see you. I thought
you
meant your husband. Yes.
No, he's a different sick call. Yeah, I don't have that flexibility. I had a day plan for today and my spiciness really counters or it definitely sets me off for the rest of the day. So if you are, well, you are lucky because you are not going to see me physically today, bodily humming like that something is off.
I lost a lot of sleep on the lead up to taxes. I lost a lot of sleep on the deadlines for taxes.
Could have been anything.
And they're rolling
Amy.
Deadlines throughout the year.
Could have been anything.
And now I hate to keep saying it, but three major things happened all at once for me. COVID hit. I ended a relationship with my business. I sold out of it and I went through menopause. And those three physical, business, professional, career, spiritual, status,
body,
lifestyle, financial changes all happening at once. And I didn't die. And everyone is still thriving and we can manage. There are ups, there are downs, but none of them are so irrecoverably connected to those events. Now I'm like, fuck taxes. I mean, it's fuck PTO. That's how it happens.
I feel that way about flying to Florida or flying anywhere. I've already flown to Australia and back. If it's not 24 hours, I got it. Like, I could do anything for 8 hours. You want to go to Italy? I'll go with you. You want to go visit my parents in Florida?
Have
a good time.
We had a particularly high-intensity lacrosse game on Friday night. It was excruciatingly high intense. I had to leave. I couldn't stay. I went up to the parking lot. I couldn't be near the fields anymore.
Wow.
Because it was making me too upset. And I kept hearing the crowd. It was in a giant stadium at night with lights. So, I mean, it was a big – and we played at college. It was midpoint between the two high schools. So it was like a very, very large stadium that they were in. They didn't need it to be that big. It's just the way it was. So I was way up in the parking lot. And I kept hearing the screeches of the like war cries of the parents, you know, erupting. And I just kept pacing and pacing and casually I'd look up at the scoreboard to see what was happening. And it was 5 minutes and 17 seconds. And then it got down to 3 minutes and 8 seconds. And I kept saying, I can do anything for 5 minutes. I can do anything. And I was just pacing. And then the 3 minutes, every time I looked up, it was still 3 minutes. And I'm like, that's a long 3 minutes.
Something's happening what happened?
Yeah. It ended up being 10 minutes worth of 3 minutes.
Oh, fuck.
Stop the clock.
That's not good.
So it has ended in a good place, but it on the field, an ambulance arrived with a stretcher and a backboard. And it was at the defensive end. So as I was just breathing very slowly and walking back to the game and looking to the goal, outside the goal on the ground, couldn't, and all the coaches were there. So our coach was there. All the players were around. So our defensemen were around. I have a defensive player. So I'm just trying to be, and there was a tall man who I thought looked like my husband standing over the player. So I just kept breathing in and out, breathing. And it wasn't my player. It was not even our team. It was the other team. We suspect now the kid wobbled, grabbed a hold of his teammate and collapsed without being struck. We think that we can all deduce that he had what was likely a concussive event earlier in the game that went unnoticed. We all sort of remembered a hit that seemed pretty rattly, and he maybe, so this was the result of later he was just walking and then wobbled and then collapsed. So I think, and come to find out, the report the next day to all the teammates, they called the game, they stopped the game, we don't play anymore, this is fine. He's fine. It was a concussion, but at the time we didn't know what it was, and it was very
scary. Terrifying.
So I can do anything for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
You can do anything for 24
hours. I ride Peloton.
Hours.
I can do anything for 3 minutes. Like you, another 3 minutes. Like I, absolutely. And I definitely think that the most powerful muscle in your body is your brain, and it could help your belly. It could get you through your racing heart. It is amazing. And if I had it to do all over again, I would probably study the brain. But I went to a 76ers game Friday night, and it was amazing. I had such a good time. And I had this like come to Moses moment, because you and I have had a conversation about, as you phrase it, the sport. And
sport
and how people react to, and how I'm not okay when your favorite player is traded and everybody's like, fuck you. Like, it's very angry and it's very contrary, and everybody's fighting and everybody's the biggest fan, but they're also so negative about being a fan is positive. Yay, we're a fan. You don't have to say, I hope you fucking die and bleed out. Like, there is a degree. Fine. You told me, Melissa, you don't understand sports. Fine.
No, I've come full circle. I agree, but I was so unhappy with the participation of all of the parents. This is a huge rivalry game. First time these two teams are meeting up after the last game, where it was pretty clear there was kind of some cheating going on. There was just poor sportsmanship that benefited the other team, and they ended up winning. So this was a retribution game, and it felt that way. And you know how rivalries are. So we went in with heightened everything, and it just went up, ramp.
That would make me so physically uncomfortable.
That's
I would have been with you.
That's why I left. Yeah. And the next day, I also started a text chain conversation saying, I'm not comfortable with how we behaved on the sidelines. We love to look down our noses at other sports programs, other high school programs, their families.
This one,
whatever.
Right?
We've got another rivalry game coming up next week that we're going to be an away team for. And I said, are we the same as all those other parents? Everybody knows that the schools develop reputations for the kids,
yes,
for the players, and for the parents. And we know and can clock the parents of other schools. This entire school is racist, and that's why their kids are racist on the field. And I mean, kids doing racial epithets on the field and the parents having swastika tattoos. Like, this is proper racism, right? So yeah, big problems. So you can clock and you can know, okay, don't like that, don't like this, whatever. So people earn their reputations
Legitimately.
And I started a text thread among the parents saying, are we just as bad as them? Are we doing exactly the same? Can we not just shut the fuck up? And it went back and forth with, I'm embarrassed, I shouldn't have it. I'm like, I'm not pointing the finger at anybody. I'm asking the question. I'm just asking the question. And then some of the other people were like, no, and fuck them harder. And all, you know, so it's like, I don't even know what to do or say. But
I came to the conclusion at this game, which we won, with a tiny buffer. So I love those games. And my husband is an underdog fan. And I turned to him in the car and I said, if we're winning and you root for the underdog, I'll slit your fucking throat. So I understand being a fan.
That's sports.
Right.
Yeah.
But
I'm not that way. I clap. This is but I'm watching a child's game.
Right.
So you know what I mean?
So I came to the conclusion that the reason I feel the way I do is because I grew up in New York sports. And I was an Islanders fan, and I was a Giants fan, and I was a Yankee fan. And those were winning fucking teams when I was there.
They're unilaterally hated.
Yeah, well, not where I grew up, they aren't, but I don't live there anymore. And I I decide, like when you got traded, everything was mean. It was the mean team. It was always negative, negative. I find such joy in watching the Philadelphia 76ers play because, and it's
Philadelphia sports are no joke.
They're not, right? They have the same kind of tinge to it that game you had the other night and the New York
sports
teams.
They're the worst of all
teams,
possible.
Like,
yeah, they're the worst of all
You're talking
possible.
To about two cities where I've lived that have prisons in their stadiums for a reason, like very well, right? So
full, yeah.
So and a court and a, right. So I came to the conclusion that I love basketball so much because all of these gentlemen are friends and they do go from team to team and they do have beef at some teams. The fans are still assholes, but they at the end of the game hug their opponent. They laugh. They're talking before the game. It's not do or die, kill. That, yeah, they want to win, and yeah, they might even play a little dirty or turn to the refs and go, what? I didn't do anything, and they flop.
At a certain point, you've been on the same team with that person at some point in your career.
Yes, and they are all brothers. They are all friends, and to see
still
want to
make them eat it, but at the same time.
You have siblings. Sometimes it's time to pull out the mallet of death and to win in cricket or whatever you're doing, but that, you're still siblings after that, and I felt like, How do you come back from some of the evil shit you're saying? Like, you're kind of despicable. Kill him? Like, your whole put your knee on the neck and press the gas? Or
yeah, and just to be crystal clear, that's nothing that is ever said. That put the knee on the neck, foot on the gas,
that
used to be something that was said to players on the sideline as a like,
motivational.
Here's an example of, not about a specific person.
Right.
This
not
was just a
do
euphemism,
this,
an ugly one,
full speed
an
ahead.
Inappropriate and ugly one, but it was not something the parents yelled. Things that the parents were yelling that I didn't like is when there was an obvious idiotic call by the ref, they would scream, open your eyes, ref, but then they would keep, we, even though my mouth was silent, I must be among them. They are my team. We, the parents, were collectively, abusively, screechingly yelling, open your eyes, come on, get it. What are you doing? That's ridiculous. You're blind. Like, just stuff that was way too much and unending, to the point where I started saying before I left, you've made your point, now shut up. Shut up, Jimmy. Like, I would tell people directly, you need to shut up. And then that became like a Karate Kid kind of a joke. And then they would like mutter it to make people laugh. And I was like, stop. Just fucking stop it. It's not funny. It's just at a certain point, it's not funny.
Like, that's,
I don't think it is
funny.
That's
their night out. And maybe they're thinking they're watching the Eagles play or the Giants play. And if you're watching the Eagles and you see Saquon Barkley play, you're watching both. And it's great. And I'm looking forward to it this year. But it's the attitude. And the reason I find basketball so enjoyable, the attitude's just better. Were there people in the skybox sitting next to me that said, you don't know, you're fucking blind. They're between seven and 15, these kids. You're fucking blind. I'm like, how did you pay for these tickets? What are you doing up here? What's happening? And can I have that ice cream sundae that you're letting just sit there and melt? Because I went and we did it right. Like, I want to do that in the future. In retirement, I want to have box seats. I can't afford floor seats, especially not after the tax checks
know.
I just wrote.
You don't know.
Well, will you go in with us? Let's do it. I want in, and it's delightful. And if after other games, like even watching the Kelce brothers hug after a game, that's heartwarming. I love that. They are brothers, though. That's the difference.
This is the kind of thing where one of your husband's businesses should decide that this is a good marketing tactic and they should buy this for the business. And then on nights when the business can't use it, then I guess those seats would have gone empty if you don't go.
Honey, did you hear that? That's what we're doing. This is
that's what everybody does. That's what those seats are for. It's corporate sponsors. So they and whatever, entertainment.
I asked him,
clients.
How often do you think these boxes are empty? Because if they're empty on any given weeknight, it's just such a pain in the ass to drive into Philadelphia and get your parking and the timing. It takes 2 hours to get there if it's a rush hour situation. It's fucked. It's just fucked. So I apologize for not understanding sport the way you told me. I don't like people. I like basketball and those athletes.
I like the competition. I absolutely like the rivalry. I don't like it when the heightened emotion and adrenaline gets into excess.
Okay.
Right? Anyway, it happens.
Dear listener, does it happen to you? Do you steal 3 quarts of raspberries?
Yeah.
There was one last thing I wanted to share, even though we're way over on time.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll cut that out.
Do you remember when we were younger? No. I could leave it there. How there used to be a PSA that said, it's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are? Like, they literally needed to tap our parents on the shoulder and say, well, should you be at this bar right now? Where are your fucking children? Are they out and you're home? Are you out and they're God knows fucking where? What, do you remember any other of those?
I remember it's 10 p.m. I think it said it was 10 o'clock. It's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? And in fairness, no, they didn't. Because we also lived in a time where...
No phones.
The expectation was that you couldn't directly know where anyone was, and you had to rely on pre-approval and trust because there was no way to track. So you didn't have the expectation that you could track in the way we do now.
Stalk,
I remember,
track,
this
stalk.
Is your brain. This is your
There's
brain on
There's another
drugs.
Good one.
Any questions?
And
she would take, this is your brain, and she would hold up an egg?
Yep,
and
a
And then she would
pan.
Hold up, yeah, a cast iron frying pan. Then she would crack the egg and start to fry it. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions?
Okay.
Then I also remember much, much later, the Truth Campaign, when they would do that anti-cigarette business and they would go and be guerrilla angry people trying to make people stop smoking.
Yeah,
those are the two that I remember. I don't really remember any others, but I'm sure you're going to remind me.
Well, no, there's one now that I really just looked at and said, you know, is this PSA really necessary? And it is on every night. My husband said he never saw it. Right, because you're snoring through it. It's on every night, telling parents not to leave their kids in the car when they go to gamble. Do you have?
Okay, that's only a Philadelphia thing.
Do you have casinos in North Carolina?
No. Here's what I've noticed.
That's fucked up that you need to remind parents that they can't leave their children alone in a car while they go just to...
Turn around. Don't drown. Yeah. So here's what's going on. I'm sure we'll get those ads.
You legalize?
We don't have them now.
Okay.
And remember, I made up 8 months ago when you said, why is there such an explosion of gambling advertising? And I just went along with it because I was like, I haven't seen a gambling ad in my entire life, even in Vegas. And so it occurred to me, it's because something happened in your market where it was ramped up. And I now not only know that, I'm experiencing it firsthand because DraftKings, the booking engine for all sports gaming, sports book, is now in North Carolina. And we have radio ads. We have paid radio ads on Sirius. We have billboards. We have television ads. We have banana stickers. We have everything that you can think of trying to tell you.
You can
about
gamble.
Where you can.
Yeah. Here.
Yeah. So next up is, now that we got you gambling, don't kill your kids.
That's it.
Yeah. That's next.
Isn't that crazy that you need to be told? Like, I get it. The car you drive, you don't realize that you already got to work. Did you check the back seat for your kid? Like somebody who's not. This is not that. This is, you have a vice that has made it so that you don't even realize you have a family anymore. And you're not going to let your family get in the way of your vice. It's shocking to me every time I see it. It's just shocking. Dear listener, what shocks you? Write in and tell us. Brilliantobservations@gmail.com. Go to Instagram or Facebook, where I left a post yesterday telling everybody that Amy was drunk and crazy, but in being drunk and crazy, she came up with the...
It's spectacular.
She came up with the ingredients for the very, very best drink I've ever heard of because it has all of my favorites. So
it's so good.
It's a mimosa.
It's so good, you guys.
You know what? Fuck you. Go to our websites or go to Instagram or... I'm not even telling you what's in it that
it's
makes it
It's on Instagram.
So good.
Yeah.
I think I shared it
and
with
And here's
Facebook
a pro
too.
Tip. Yeah. It does not have any mayonnaise in it.
Yeah, she was drunk. So I don't even know what you were talking about, but I peed my pants laughing so hard at the fact that you were peeing your pants laughing so hard. That always brings me joy. We hope we brought you joy somehow this week. And thank you for coming and listening. Take care. Come back next week. Bye.
Bang, bang, bang. Do, do, do. Dibbly.